The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So this morning, after David's Dharma talk, I started preparing for the Dharma talk I'm about to give this evening. I never know where David or Alan or when Mike Filicki has been here, which of the slogans they're going to talk about. And so I wait and make sure, because this is how my mind moves, make sure that things have been covered so that I can move along. And Alan and David covered nicely the point five, which means that I can go on to point six. So when I planned this talk, I thought things were going to go a certain way. I didn't feel that good. Some of us seem to have colds or a little bit of lung congestion. But then I started to get a high-ish fever, and I was really dizzy. And I decided, uncharacteristically, because I just like to ignore when I get sick. I complain a lot about it, but I don't do anything about it. I decided to call my doctor. Not for myself, really, but just so I'd be able to do whatever needed to be done so I could keep teaching. And also to reassure myself that I didn't have anything deadly. And so I called my doctor, and the nurse called me back during the Om Nam chanting, which was kind of wonderful. You know, when you chant Om Nam and then you receive a message from the universe. I got a call from my doctor's nurse. and she listened patiently to all the symptoms I had, because I'm not telling you all of them. There were a lot of symptoms, like really weird stuff. And she said, well, you know what? I can't figure this out. Exemplar of not knowing. And she said, you need to go to urgent care and have them examine you. And I said, okay, I will. And so Ray drove me there. We went to urgent care, which is kind of like the emergency room light. And it was, there was nobody there, really. And I got seen right away. And I felt a little bit like death warmed over. I had a headache. I couldn't breathe. I had pain in my chest. And I wrote all those things down on the, you know, on the computer. You have to sign in on a computer. And some of the things I clicked on had were in bright red letters, meaning that they would prioritize me. Like having trouble breathing is one of those things. They like to see people right away, because breathing is kind of, you know, important. And so I'm going to just pause here for a moment, because I want to talk a little bit about the Lojong point that we're on. I was going to talk about slogan 23. And slogan 23 has many, many intricate working parts to it. And what David and Alan and I have discovered is that in our evening talks, which are shorter than our morning talks, when we try to go into everything, we can't. And it's just a whole bunch of stuff. So when I got home from urgent care, I looked at the notes I'd made in the morning when I was a different person. And I thought, oh, I can't talk about all this. This is too much. So the point is called The Discipline of Relationship by Norman Fisher. And Trungpa Rinpoche calls it The Discipline of Mind Training. And what they're both pointing to here in this particular point, point number six. Remember, there are only seven. You'd think we were getting closer, but we'll see. There's a lot of points in point six and seven, a lot of slogans. What they're pointing to is how difficult it is to be in relationship with other human beings. And I think anyone in this room knows the truth of this. It's really, really hard. And both of these teachers talk about how being in relationship to ourselves is equally challenging. We've been talking about Jenny's metaphor of the puppet show in the mind, these endless arguments we have with ourselves, but we dress them up as other people. You know, so-and-so, you know, I'll just use David as an example because he's my husband. I'll have an argument with David in my head, and then I'll see him a little bit later, and the person I was arguing with in my head is not the person sitting in front of me or sitting beside me. It is a constructed personality. So the important thing here, according to all the teachers and interpreters of this particular point, and this slogan number 23 says, come back to basics. That is Norman Fisher's translation of slogan 23. Come back to basics. And Chogyam Trungpa says, always abide by the three basic principles. And this is where I could continue now and tell you about the three basic principles, but if I survive the night, I'm going to get to give another talk tomorrow. So I think I'll just wait and talk about these. But outlining them, the three principles are paying attention, and specifically paying attention to our vows, the three refuges and the bodhisattva vows, and to practice benevolence. And Trungpa says, well, they both say this, that means to refrain from doing crazy stuff. Good luck with that. And then number three is what Trungpa calls crazy wisdom. And he translates that as developing patience. And Fisher says, don't be one-sided. Don't favor people you like over people you don't like. So that's slogan 23. What I want to go into this evening is just the first one, keeping the two vows, practicing paying attention, the basic principles. Fisher talks about how important it is to go back to the beginning of the Lojong practices, to remind ourselves why we're doing this in the first place. This life is so precious and it's so brief. And as human beings, we get to wake up to the absolute nature of the universe and get to practice compassion because life is full of suffering and it's so brief. Not in spite of, but because of it. So back to urgent care. I need to give you a little background. So one of the symptoms that I have is dizziness and a fever. And when I'm dizzy and have a fever, I get a little, I feel like I'm dreaming. And I also I kind of don't have enough energy to be upset with people. it's just everyone I meet, I recognize them as bodhisattvas. They don't recognize themselves as bodhisattvas, but they are indeed bodhisattvas. One of the sayings I love in Zen is from someone in our lineage tradition, Yasutani Roshi, who says that bodhisattvas arise from the cracks in the earth when we need them. So a little background on the dream that I experienced over the afternoon. I spent the whole afternoon there, got home to the temple around 6. And everywhere I went, bodhisattvas kept arising from cracks in the earth to meet me. So some of you know, and maybe all of you know, because David and I keep talking about it, that our daughter's more than 8 months pregnant. And so she's due, we hope, after the sesshin is over. But who knows? Anything could happen, as we know. And when I was pregnant with her, my mother got really, really sick. And she died when I was 3 months pregnant with my daughter. So a little bit of trauma history that I have to deal with. My mother's name was Sylvia, and David's mother is also named Sylvia. We had to identify them clearly to each other while they were both still living. David's mother is getting close to 90, but my mother died pretty young. So Sylvia. And then I talked the other day about a television program that I really like, about a woman who goes back in time to try to correct the things she's done wrong and how that proves to be impossible. That show is called Being Erica. So Sylvia and Erica. And then, I guess this is partly a reference to Michael Herzog, who's been acting as our Shuso, but Michael, of course, is one of the great saints, one of the great archangels, the angel Michael, the savior. So I go in to start and pay my bill, and it's Erica. Erica is wearing a mask so that she won't get sick from whatever I brought into urgent care. But her eyes are dancing with happiness and pleasure, and she calls me. She's a very young woman. She calls me dear and darling, and, oh, my friend, let's see what we can do for you. My friend. It was completely aligned. Erica was not pretending to be my friend. She really was concerned at how sick I was. And it was just so sweet and gentle. So I told her about being Erica, and she said, oh, man, I'm going to look that up. And then I went in to see the nurse, and it was the Archangel Michael, a wonderful, wonderful, kind man who had been a police officer and a firefighter and taught emergency medicine at Quinsigamond College and had ridden ambulances and then gone to nurse training. And he was so effing kind. I just couldn't get over it. He reassured me about everything he was doing. He said, you know, this could be really serious. Based on your symptoms, you could have had a heart attack. And we're going to find out if that happened. A silent heart attack, which is very common in women my age, apparently. And he said, we're going to just find out. And don't worry, it's very unlikely, but just in case. And I said to him, well, if that happens, what's going to happen? And he said, I'll just take you over to the hospital and hook you up to things. And it was so matter-of-fact, so lovely, so warm. When he finally took me to a room to await the results of all the tests I was taking, he lowered the lights and put me in a chair that reclined, and he said, you rest now. Don't worry about a thing. I'll be back. The doctor didn't have a name that I recognized in my fantasy life, but she was about, I think, 8 or 9 years old. Just a lovely young woman. I think she might have been older than that. And just so sweet, sparkly. Oh, gosh, you're so sick. Let's find out what's going on with you. And repeated a lot of the same things Michael had said. She said, you know, no worries, but I really want to make sure that when you leave, we have treated you. So these four bodhisattvas arising from the cracks in the earth, and then, of course, Ray. Ray volunteered to drive me down to urgent care when I found out that I needed to go. I was going to drive myself, and he said, I'd really like to do it. And we had one of our wonderful Ray and Melissa conversations where we didn't talk a lot until afterwards, when I was really relieved that I indeed did not have a heart attack. Just the capacity for Ray, the ray of light and compassion that surrounds us and falls all over every single thing we encounter. So reassuring. Just being present, waiting and waiting and waiting. So I want to just take us back for a moment to this first part of Come Back to Basics. So coming back to basics again, the briefness of human life for a little while. Oh, did I talk about Sylvia? No, I didn't. She was the x-ray technician. My mother, a young black woman who had an accent of some kind that sounded like she was from the islands, maybe. And she kept saying, I really want you to do this for me. So stand up to the x-ray machine. Please do this for me. And turn to the side. Please do this for me. I just wanted to do anything she asked me. I told her that my mother's name had been Sylvia, and she went, uh-huh. Like, who cares, lady? But boy, for me, it was significant. So turns out I have bronchitis and an infection, and I'm being treated with antibiotics. And there you have it, and I'll probably feel better. Well, actually, I felt better almost immediately. As soon as the doctor, that little girl came in, and she said, I have really good news for you. You did not have a heart attack. Oh, there's now a pretty good chance I'll get to see my grandson. I'm so happy about that. What are the chances, right? Some of you know that one of our closest friends fell down the stairs a couple of weeks ago, hit his head, got a concussion. Every moment, we are so lucky to be alive. He's still alive. He's healing slowly. I'm still alive for the moment. You're all alive. Anyone listening to this recording, still alive. Who knows, though, by the end of the recording? Anything could happen. Anything. And so what is our choice then? And this is what all of the commentators say about this slogan. To keep the two vows. To keep to basics. Taking refuge in the Buddha, the awakened nature of everything. Taking refuge in the Dharma, the teachings arising everywhere. Taking refuge in the Sangha, the community, which is not just the community of fellow practitioners, but everyone we meet. I just loved everybody. My friend who had the head injury a couple weeks ago, his wife told me that he was just so friendly with everybody. He just clearly loved everyone in the emergency room. And he has no memory of that because the head injury made him forget what happened. But I can imagine that. I just loved everybody. They were all taking care of me. I didn't even ask. I just showed up and they responded. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, the awakened nature, the teachings arising everywhere, and the community of awakening. And then the Bodhisattva vows, which we'll say later tonight, although I won't, because after this talk, I'm going to go to bed and hope that my bronchitis begins to heal faster. And the Bodhisattva vows, all beings are this one body, and we vow to save every single one of them. For some people, it comes naturally. For some people, we get lost in those inner arguments, holding grudges, having arguments. Please hear this story of mine and realize what I saw today, being with Michael and Ray and Sylvia and Erica and the doctor whose name I don't remember. Don't waste your life. Everything is, as the Tibetans like to say, kindly bent to ease us. And when we recognize our own bodhisattva nature, we realize that the Dharma gates are truly everywhere and we will enter them all. And that everything that happens is an opportunity to learn. And that this great way of the Buddha, it is unsurpassable because it doesn't really take form as anything in particular. It just is breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. And then if we're lucky, breathing in again. If anyone has ever been with someone dying, and I was with my mother when she was dying, although not the very moment that she died, I was amazed at the robustness of her breathing. Big breath in, and then big breath out, and big breath in, and one of her closest friends took her hand and said, Sylvia, it's okay to leave. And she didn't leave until I left the room. I think she didn't want to miss her grandbaby. Who knows? I have no idea. It's a mystery. All I know is that I tasted something that I hope that I will remember at least for a few more hours before I get caught up in the difficulty of being a human being and the difficulty of being in relationship. Come back to basics. Thank you.